Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Praise God, we're in His Word. So if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We are in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 14. And no fear, we are going to finish chapter 1 today. Lord willing, I should say. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names were about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his entrails gushed out. It became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Ak-el-dama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And to propose too, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these you have chosen to take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and he might go into his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word is truth. And we just pray as we get into your word, Lord, that we would understand something just very simple and yet so profound. How to determine your will. Bless our time together, Father, and I pray for those that have big decisions to be made. I pray that you would guide them, Father, and help them to just grab hold of these truths and put them to practice. And for the rest of us, help us to remember these truths, Father. So bless this time together, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, right now, there was a poll recently given, and 30% of Americans consult astrology, tarot cards, or fortune tellers to discern what to do. There's other ways, too, that people do it. You remember those magic eight balls? Believe it or not, people still use those. Tossing of a coin. Tossing of the dice. Throwing a pin in a cup. Many ways, because why? People want to know what to do. They don't. One of the greatest fears people have is making the wrong decision. Nobody likes to make what they think is the wrong decision. Christians, well, they can be no different. How many of us have done weird things? There's a lady that wanted to go to Israel. She had the means, she had the time, but she wanted to make sure it was God's will. So every night she would pray over it, this pamphlet that she got that would be basically the itinerary of the time in Israel. Hotels that they would stay in, the plane they would fly over in. And she would just pray over it. Lord, give me a sign. How do I know I'm supposed to go or not? Well, one night she woke up and she looked at the clock, and the clock said 7:47. And she said, oh, that's the plane I'm flying on. It must be God's will. Or how about a guy that wants to know God's will in a decision and says, all right, Lord, if it's yes, let this light stay green as I pass through it. Some of these things sound familiar. Lord, if it's your will, then let the phone ring at exactly 7:26. Then I know it's your will. Is it really that obscure? Is it really that confusing? we have before us here, if you will, the apostles. Let's look at them, because they had a decision they had to make. Notice again, verse 14, they were praying with one accord, one mind, one passion, continually. In verses 16 and 17, we find out something too, is that they were looking at the scriptures. The scripture had to be fulfilled. But also, why? Because Judas left. There was a vacancy. Circumstances were dictating. They knew that Jesus said there'd be 12 of them. Right now there's 11. Wait a minute, this doesn't work. We have to figure this out. Verses 18 through 20, we find that they were in the Word, where it was written, let his dwelling place be desolate. That's in the Psalms. Psalm 69:25, if you want to write it down. Let another take his office. It's Psalm 109:8. They were searching and knowing God's Word. Verse 21 and 22, it says, Therefore what? The men who have accompanied us all this time, the Lord Jesus went out among us, beginning with the baptism of John. He was taken up from us and must become a witness with us. Therefore, of the men who have been with us from the beginning and staying, the Lord Jesus to this day ascended into heaven. One must be a witness of the resurrection. We already know something. There was at least 500 people that were a witness to his resurrection. Notice in verse 23, they proposed. The 11 got together. They counseled with one another to determine who would be. There was only two that were qualified. And if you will, one's name was Joseph. It means let him add. Barsabbas means son of the will. Son of his will. Justice, just. And then there was Matthias, gift of God. Now, most people would look at this and go, come on. It's got to be Joseph. I mean, let us add. I mean, according to his will. I mean, come on, justice. It had to be him, but they didn't vote, did they? No, they prayed. They prayed and sought God's will, and it ended up being Matthias to take place in leadership, which at this time was very important because there was a lot of obstacles, a lot of decisions that they would have to make from here on. But how did they come to the final conclusion? They cast lots. You know what a lot was? Basically, it was two stones. One typically was one black, one was white. Now, they could have wrote their names on them, or they could have just said, oh, if it's on black, it's Matthias. No, this isn't Russian roulette, or the roulette wheel. No, not that. It's two stones, they pull it out, and the first stone that comes out, that's the answer. Well, that's what they did. Now, the question always is, was this the right thing to do? They did it before Pentecost. Was this God's will? Now, scholars debate over this. Was Matthias really supposed to be the 12th apostle? Well, we don't fully understand or know, but I'll give you my opinion. My opinion means about as nothing. My opinion was, is at this moment, yes, it was God's will. Matthias had to be added. But he wasn't the true 12th apostle. My belief is it's actually Paul. Why? Because Paul was actually, just like the other 11, called by the Lord. In Galatians, Paul said it this way, and Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Then he goes on to say, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did immediately not confer with flesh and blood. Jesus Christ called him. I believe Paul is actually that 12th apostle. But now, again, that doesn't help us out, does it? How do you determine God's will? There's some principles that they went through that were right. But how can you know for sure? Well, there's two questions first we must ask ourselves. One is, do you really want to know what God wants? Jesus said, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. You'll know it. And then the second question is once you find out what God's will is, do you really want to do it? Or should I say, will you obey? That's a little harder, huh? It's kind of like Lord, are you sure? Can we, you know, mix this up? Maybe a different decision, maybe a different spouse, maybe a different man, maybe a different woman, maybe a different job. Are you sure, Lord? Can we do 2 out of 3, maybe, Lord? But isn't that what we do? See, it really, it does come down to this. Do you really want to know God's will? And then are you willing to obey God's will? Now, some of this I wasn't going to, but it does apply to me. See, first of all, when the Lord spoke to my heart when I was a kid, when I was 18 years old, he said, be a pastor. I said, no, that can't. That couldn't be God. There's no way. But still, again, if it is God speaking, then God has his way to bring it back around, does he not? Which brings us to number one. Listen to this. To really determine God's will, we have to also go here. Ready? Number one is you have to believe that God has a plan for you. Because if you think that we're just here on this rock and it's floating around in space and, you know, God just doesn't think much about you, you're wrong. Scripture tells us that he has thoughts towards you that you can't even number. Which is a good thing. Some of us need God thinking about us constantly, and I think I'm one of them. Constantly God thinks about us. And Jeremiah wrote this, for I know the thoughts, God speaking, that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do you really want to know? Do you really care? Because if you do, I will reveal it to you. The second thing I want you to take note of is just as they did, they searched God's word. This was one of the ways that I knew too that I was called. Why? Because for some, you know, I know now, but all of a sudden I just had this hunger for God's word. I couldn't get enough of it. I spent hours reading. And you have to understand, I was not somebody that liked school. Books bored me to blazes. Would not pick up a book. If I had to, I would skim through it and make a book report and usually just got a passing grade on it. Did not like to read. But all of a sudden, I couldn't get enough. Reading, cross-references, getting other books, discovering new truths. Just, well, not new truths, but truths that were new to me. And just amazed. But see, when you search God's word, when you learn about God has a plan for us, then something begins to happen. You know what it is? You begin to understand and hear his voice. You see him. You understand him. His holiness, his love for you, his care for you, his desire for you. That he's good, always good. His character is holy and righteous and just and pure and lovely. You learn these things by reading his word. And by it, if you will, and listen to this, you understand and learn to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep will hear and know my voice. Do you know his voice? Because see, understand something. God's word, God's voice, never contradicts his word. God will never tell you to do something that's contradictory of his word. His voice never defaces his name or his character. Meaning, this talk about God not knowing things or that he was ignorant about certain things is blasphemy. God will never deface his name or character. His voice, he never shares his glory with another. He's not going to boast you up and say, oh, you are so wonderful, so great. You can do this because you're magnificent. No, it's because of his work in and through us that these things happen. So we understand something too. His voice humbles the listener. See, when God speaks, it's a wisdom that you know goes beyond your little mind. Pinhead head. God's wisdom goes way beyond. And the beauty of it and the wisdom of it is just unreal. When you hear it, and I know you have, it blesses. Even maybe you can't fully grasp the whole understanding of it, you know God is speaking to you. And remember, a lot of this comes down to these two things. Let's go back. He has a plan for you. And his plan is good. And he wants you to know and learn his word. Now, understand something. His word and certain things, there's an explicit will that is given in his word. And those are things that we have to understand and follow. I mean, God wants us to love one another. It's his will. God wants us to do good unto others. It's his will. God doesn't want us to sin. That's his will. But he understands that we can sin. So he's given us, again, the ability to confess our sins because of Jesus Christ. And he forgives us and tells us, go on. God, again, his plan is always good towards us. And we have to accept and understand that. To be obedient. But then there's always those things that we're not too sure about. And that's what we're learning. See, the thing is giving you these things, it's like, it's all it is just here's tools in your pouch. And you must use them. No, I'm not here to tell you God's will. That's not my place. There are churches that do that, and trust me, that's wrong. Because God sees you, and he knows you by name. His desire is to speak to you. His desire is to have that personal relationship. His will is not hidden. But it is, again, for us to dig. Do we really want to know? So three would be just like what the disciples did, was they prayed. Seeking his will. Seeking his will, asking and listening. Listen. I did this. As I spent many times reading, I would say, what do you want me to do with this? And then I can tell you, because it wasn't my nature, the progressions that he did. The first thing he said to me, go teach the kids. You say, oh, is that these? I just knew. It's just this. They're talking about we need Sunday school teachers. And I was like, if you've been here a year, we're looking for servants. And I just heard this voice and I knew it. Go teach. And I'm like, you don't understand. I can't do that. I'm not teach. Well, what do you do? What? And yet I couldn't get it out. So what did I do? I went and taught third graders. I learned how to keep the attention of third graders. And trust me, it's not an easy task. But just when I thought, okay, this is easy. I got this, Lord. The Lord goes, no, now I want you to teach junior high. Talking about being in the frying pan, being thrown in the fire. You had to be quick, quick wit. Get their attention. Hello, hello, hello over here. But the thankfulness is they didn't have the phones that kids have nowadays. Again, progression. And then I was teaching adults, which again was just totally out of my wheelhouse. And yet then all of a sudden I'm teaching kids. Praying and seeking his will, I was like, now what do you want me to do? The pastor comes up to me, goes, we've been noticing you. I want you to be part of my discipleship. We disciple certain people that we see leadership qualities in them. And so a pastor came to me, said, prayed about it. And again, I had this argument with the Lord, and the Lord says, do it. He did it. From that, I was taught many things that I was really blessed. And if you will, I was very comfortable being under him. I was like, this is great. I'll stay here. In fact, it came to a point where circumstances came up that I had to make a decision. I won't go into detail about the circumstances, but there are real circumstances. And number four, if you will, that's how you determine things. Circumstances and options, you think it through with God. You open with open and closed doors. What will keep you in the grace of God? What will bless your family? What is his will going forward? It's not about me. It's not about comfort. It's about what does he desire for me to do? And in the circumstances I was under, I had to make a decision. I was newly married with a kid. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. If you've called me to be a pastor, I know it's not here. So where do I go? What do I do? Well, The options I had were three, and they weren't very good ones, but they're all out of state. And I was like, really, Lord, is there any other option? Can we think this through a little more? But then let's backtrack a little. I would have never moved out of California except for one thing. I went to the Billy Graham Training Center in Carolina. And there I saw a lot of people that were hungry and thirsty for the word. And then all of a sudden my heart changed. I said, well, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Because see, going with God is the best thing. I mean, you can choose your place. You can be settled. You can be comfortable. But if God's not in it, then it can be quite miserable. But see, when God calls and God directs, then if you will, there is what we'll get to. Now, not knowing exactly my options, the three that I came up with was Texas, because my sister lived there. Arizona, because my parents lived there. Nebraska, because my wife lived there. That was my third option. I kept thinking it can't be Nebraska. Not Nebraska. I mean, I didn't even know it was part of the Union until I met. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know. There were people in California that didn't think it was in Canada. But no, I knew. But I didn't know exactly why it kept coming up. But the problem was, too, is that I went to Nebraska one winter with my wife. I mean, during this time for Christmas. And my wife was very content to being wherever God called us. So it wasn't anything about her. But we were there, I was downtown, and I probably told you this story, and I was like waiting for my wife because she was in a store with a friend. There used to be a teaching store downtown, and I was standing outside. It was cold. It was December, cloudy, and it started to snow. And I looked over, and it had the LES temperature there, and it was probably, I'm going to guess, 20 degrees. 22, I think it was, actually, now that I think about it. And I looked around and I thought, this is miserable. And I still, it's a confusing question that I have. Who would want to live here? Why did they stop here? I don't care if it was free land. Go further west, it's warmer. Why would you stay here? There's nothing to keep the breeze off you. The weather comes blowing in. Why? I don't. And that's when I heard the Lord say, here. Now remember something. This wasn't just something that I was making up because I learned to hear His voice. Plus, I didn't want to hear that. Here? Really? Nah, that can't be you. But I learned something. I wasn't going to go around that long trip again. If this was His will, I wanted to know it. So I prayed, went home, we prayed. And then we came back out. And I walked for a week around the city, praying and asking God, please, if it's Your will, if You really did speak to me, confirm it. Show me how this is Your will. And you know what He said to me? Absolutely nothing. And I remember being dejected, flying back. I don't know if it was a 747 or not, but flying back. And I just remember thinking, oh, God, I'm not coming out here unless I know it's Your will. I'm not coming out here unless I know You're with me. There ain't no way. And as I was sitting there, the captain came on the intercom and he said, you're going to notice that it's overcast. We're flying over Salt Lake City as we speak. We're descending, and I can't remember the rate he said. But he said, but here's the thing. The clouds are low. He says, it will be all cloudy from all this descent. And you look out your window, you're just going to see clouds. He said, don't worry, we're flying by instrument. Actually, there will be a clearing. But the interesting thing is the clearing will come, and then right then you'll see the runway. But don't worry, we're flying by instrument. And right then the Lord said, that is for you. You're not going to understand. It's going to seem cloudy, confusing. You don't know which decision to make, but it'll be all clear in the end. Now, again, to say, okay, this is how you determine it. No, because there's a big obstacles. The first thing I had to do was, if you will, number five. See, just as the disciples, they proposed, they got together and talked it over, I sought counseling. Seek the counsel of godly people that know God and His Word, that will also pray with you. I went to that pastor. I went to lunch with him. And I said, I got to know. I got to know. Do you really think I have a calling? I wish he hesitated. No, I'm kidding. But he didn't even hesitate. He said, yes, definitely. I said, all right. And then I asked a few others that I really respected. They confirmed it too. And then the last obstacle. Because of the circumstances, I had to sell my house. There was a recession going on at this time. And nobody could sell their house unless it was so dirt cheap that you weren't getting anything out of it. I knew for us to move out here, we needed a certain amount of money to live on at first. So I knew that there was a bottom plateau, and that was it. So I said, well, Lord, I know we can't sell it any less than this. So we listed it at this price. It didn't sell. It didn't sell. Real estate agent would call us and say, okay, I got somebody. I got a fish on the line. So my wife would clean the inside. I'd do work on the outside, and then nobody would show up. I think out of that whole year, only one couple showed up. That was it. So I was like, okay, maybe this isn't God's will. I remember my wife going, well, should we change real estate agents? I said, if God doesn't want it to sell, He doesn't want it to sell. I mean, if He doesn't want it to sell, I can't go. Can't go. I know it's not God's will. Real estate agent called me. He says, I know the contract that we had together was a year. I'm just asking you for one more month. I know I can sell it. I said, all right, one more month. Thinking, and I looked at my wife. I says, God doesn't want it to sell. It won't sell. Remember, we didn't go down on price. It had to be that price. Within that month, she sold the house. Within that month, I spent some time with the Lord and I said, you really want me to go? Which brings me to number six. Do you have God's peace? Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. At that time, even though I didn't think I really wanted to go, I had a peace. Oh, I was scared, but I had a peace. I didn't know what was going to go on from here, but I had a peace. All of a sudden, moving to Nebraska was not something that I feared. It was something that I grabbed hold to. Understanding that God was going and sending me to Nebraska. Now, I know I bash Nebraska a lot, but really that's out of jest and teasing. I really do like it here. And I'll tell you why. God called me here. This is the best place to live for me. Unless God calls me elsewhere, this is it. Why? Because it's where He wanted. Nothing is better than being in God's will. I hope you've discovered that. Which brings me to the last one. Delight yourself in God. In Psalm 37:4, you probably know it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. I say something here. There is nothing more that I enjoy than being your pastor. There's nothing in my life I've enjoyed more than being your pastor. There's nothing else I can think of that I'd rather do than be your pastor. Because God called me here. Because God's here with me. Because God is here with you. That is why when we began this morning, I said, I so enjoy listening to you sing. It reveals your heart. It reveals your desire. And I think in many ways we are one in that desire. We desire God. We desire to be with Him. We desire to be in His will. Now understand something. God leads step by step. I mean, if you're not walking, if I wasn't walking, God wasn't going to just throw something out there. I had to discover these things. And God in His patience allowed me to discover those things. But when I found an answer to a certain question, I had to again step forward. Just as in teaching, everything God leads as you walk with Him. It's step by step. In fact, in Isaiah, it says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. And then I know another scripture that most of you understand or memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He desires for you to walk with Him, to learn to hear His voice. Now, may I say this? No, I don't hear His voice all the time. In fact, I wish I heard it a lot more than I do. So many times it's just quiet. You know what? The last thing, I've shared this with other people. Basically, I'm doing exactly the last thing the Lord told me to do. He said, teach my word. And that's what I'll do. Until He tells me otherwise. Or I can't find the pulpit. Or Caleb has to lead me outside. In the cold. In the winter. As the snow is falling. But it's a step-by-step process. You want God to lead you? Then again, it goes back to, you want Him to tell you His will? I promise you this. No, He does. You'll delight in it. If you really submit to it. But you know what? If you will, one other thing, it's in Romans, and we went through this, so you know. Romans chapter 12, it says it this way, I beseech you, Paul saying to the Romans, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is basically saying, give me you, I'll show you my will. And the more we obey God's will, the more He reveals. What is God calling you to do right now? Is there something God's been calling you to do and you've been holding off? And you're wondering about this other big decision. Why isn't God answering me? Do the thing that you know you're supposed to do. Be obedient with the little things. And God will give you greater things. But be obedient. Desire His will. And sometimes His will at first may seem like it's totally a drag. But the honest reality, truth of it is it's always the right. Always. One writer wrote it this way, God's timing. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow or wait. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Where do you find yourself today? Are you walking and talking and learning and growing and listening and praying and seeking? Or are you still just mumbling about what you don't have? God desires to show us His will more than we desire to know. Be different today, this morning. as we've challenged each other, what has God called you to do now? Then do it with all your heart, trusting that He will reveal to you the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Continue to be in His Word, continue to pray, continue to seek counseling of others. Watch your doors. Remember something, though. I cannot underemphasize this. Just because a door is closed or open does not mean it's God's final answer. Maybe it's just wait. Or something too that needs to be said. Just because it's an open door doesn't mean, oh, it's God's will. Because sometimes God tests us, listen, that we'll listen to Him. Because when God has already said no, then it's wrong to go through the door. You with me? God's love and concern for each of us is amazing. And I hope we continue to discover that, not only as you as an individual, but us together. As we continue this journey together, following Him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your truth. Your truth, Lord, is wonderful. Our prayer this morning, Lord, is Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that Your will be done in all of our lives. That You would use us for Your pleasure, for Your good pleasure. That we learn to delight in You, delight in Your will, delight in Your leading. We commit our lives to You, knowing, Lord, that You bring beauty and You make sense out of it. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray that You would continue to guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to, again, be obedient with what we've been told to do. But, Lord, help us also to look expectantly at the next step. What is it that You desire for this body? That we, Lord, would fulfill Your purposes and Your will for her. And that You, Lord, would always be glorified and honored. Prayers for each of us, Lord. And for those that have decisions that need to be made, I pray, Lord, that they would get away with You and learn to hear Your voice. And give them the courage to obey. Lord, we do. We just thank You for Your guidance and Your direction, for Your Spirit does guide and does lead. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name, our Good Shepherd, who leads us beside the green, still waters and the green pastures. In His name we pray. Amen.